The opinions of Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman don't reflect the views of Gal Media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston, a Gal Media station.
All right. In the aftermath, how you feeling, Astros fans? Lots of other stuff to get to. Let's do this. It's a Thursday on the Blitz.
And here we go.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And The Blitz is on for Thursday. Welcome to the greatest show in the history of the known universe. With me, Fred Fowler, the Falcon. No A.J. today. A very special guest host. If you want to get in today, 713-780-ESPN is your number, 713-780-3776. You can also hit us up on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz, click like, send us a message. If Aaron likes it, he'll read it. If he doesn't, well, that's your problem. You can also get us on Twitter, at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R. Today, it's at P-Creighton1, at Aaron is Blitzed, at Degenerates975. You can also text the show. 713-780-3776. And if you wish to watch us on our stream, you can go to ESPN975.com, click on the Twitch, and there you'll see Patrick Creighton, which I know everyone is going to sign up to do. So you can put your comments on there as well. And it's a Thursday. Weekend's almost here. And very excited to welcome Patrick Creighton to the Blitz today. What's up, buddy?
Hey, man, I see you got your cotton balls in your ears. You and Aaron both.
I do have my headphones turned down way lower than usual. So
you want me to go like full blown Sam Kinison?
Do you? I mean, I fully expect that at some point you'll be screaming at me for some reason. And
why at you?
Well, just because I'm sitting here. I mean, it might not be directed at me necessarily.
Just that I'm going to be screaming and possibly looking in your general direction.
Right. And okay. So I will take that personally that you're screaming at me. That's just how it works.
Would you prefer if I look at Aaron and scream?
Yeah, except here's the thing. That glass is very expensive, and I really don't want you cracking it.
Well, it's not 52 degrees in here, and I'm not going to run over there and take my shirt off, so we're good.
Okay, good. Yeah, no, nobody wants to see that.
That's... Dude, I don't want to see that!
Is that one where your wife says, hey, no, just leave the shirt on?
She's just kind of said, hey, no.
Okay.
So that just kind of makes sense. I want to say for the last 12 and a half years.
Oh, okay. Since you had kids.
Once we found out that we were going to have a girl, and that was going to be our second child, that was the end of all. That was it. It just ended at that point.
Interesting. So basically, she just married you to get a daughter.
Yeah. Okay. Boy, girl, done. Now the dog actually lays on the bed in between us.
Is that a euphemism or the real dog?
No, the dog actually lays in the bed in between us.
Just checking. So I heard you guys a little bit last night. You guys will be doing late hits again tonight, right? You got Jason Braddock.
Jason Braddock, Abdul Foster. Yesterday was our first show as a triumvirate.
What'd you think?
It was fun.
Yeah?
Definitely. It's weird in that I'm not talking as much. When you're hosting solo, you talk all the time. You don't have to worry about working anybody else in. I can be as off the rails as I want to be. When you're working with two other people, now I've got to find a way to work them into the program where I used to just go off on whatever rant tangent I was going to go off on. But there's also a lot of other opportunities for fun exchanges that didn't previously exist. So it was a good show.
Well, it's an adjustment. I mean, you're one of the guys around here who does a solo show most of the time. Like, when you fill in for Charlie, you know, it's just you. You've been doing a show by yourself. I always prefer doing it with someone else, but every now and then it's fun to do one by yourself just to get the reps, just to kind of see if you can be interesting for 2 hours.
The full creative control is the best part about it. I know some people look at it and they look at it as it's intimidating. Oh my gosh, what am I going to talk about for 2 hours? What if I run out of something to say? What if I don't have enough material? What if nobody calls? What if nobody... It's 2 hours of radio. if you're not having fun sitting in this chair, well, usually I'm in that chair, but if you're not having fun sitting in this chair with a microphone talking sports, you should probably just off yourself. Because then you can't have fun doing anything.
Interesting. So you are basically saying that people should kill themselves.
Lots of people should kill themselves.
Okay. All right.
Can we just get the gauntlet and snap our fingers?
Well, no,
dumb people will die, and there'll be like a third of the people left in the world. It'll be awesome. No more food shortages. No more cash shortages. Just think of all the horrible afflictions that we no longer have to deal with because we've rid ourselves of stupid people.
So you're Team Thanos.
Oh, definitely Team Thanos.
Okay. I am too.
And Hailing Hydra.
Now, I just feel like I should be able to determine the half of the people I get rid of when I snap my fingers. I don't want it to be totally random. Like, I appreciate what he was trying to do, but like I would have a list. It would start to people with anybody who listens to AM Sports Talk. They'd be gone.
Dead.
Yep. They're out of here. Anyone who trolls
dead.
On social media, boom.
Well, that's half our industry, though.
That was
last night. I was trolling the hell out of Yankees fans. I was actually trolling people on AM radio.
I heard some of the show last night, and I was going to take issue. Well, one thing, I was going to text you and say, hey, talk more Texans.
That would have been apropos.
But I was driving, so I didn't. But I'm going to take issue with one thing you said last night. You guys are talking a lot about the Astros, and obviously the big deal yesterday, and I wrote something for Sports Map today about how not only is this team set up for now, but it's set up for next year to be a contender again, no matter what happens. But you were talking about Jim Crane a little bit and how in the beginning like everybody was ripping Jim Crane and saying all these things about Jim Crane. I got to tell you, maybe that's what you guys were doing over on that station that nobody listens to anymore. But I think over here we gave him a real open mind because he had always said all along, when we have a team that can contend, we'll spend money. There's no reason to spend money right now. And he was right. And I think most people gave him the benefit of the doubt on that. And when they did get good, he went out and did what he needed to do. He's still doing what he needed to do. And basically, he's done everything he said. It's like, hey, there's no point in us going out and spending money right now while we're trying to build this thing up. But when we get to be a contender, we'll spend the money.
And my experience at that other place on the other side of the dial was completely opposite of that. Not only were the hosts and the management team all down on Crane, but all the listeners, which they don't really have anymore because now they listen here, all the listeners, they were all down on Crane. Everybody was down on Crane. And you remember 2013, look, they lost a franchise record, 111 games. And he had said, I want to build an organization that's going to be similar to the way the Braves and the Cardinals run their organization. And CSN Houston was in the midst of getting ready to go to bankruptcy at the end of that year. They were a mess. And my impression from everybody around me was like everybody was down on Jim Crane. And I had written an article comparing the Astros' revenue streams to the Cardinals' and the Braves' revenue streams. And I actually got a phone call from Jim Crane. Open up my phone after a show, have a voicemail. It says it's from Jim Crane. I actually didn't believe it was Jim Crane. I thought it was somebody trolling me. So I called up their PR team, and I'm like, hey, did I get a phone call from Jim Crane? Somebody said that it was Jim Crane, and they're like, yes, Mr. Crane would like to talk to you. And he granted me two personal interviews, one at Minute Maid Park and then one where he actually came into the studio and sat down with me for an hour and talked about everything that was going to go on. He laid out the whole plan that he had, the whole outline for the plan, explained how, look, he felt he was misled about the value of CSN Houston, about its reach, about its coverage, about the amount of money they could actually generate with it. He was right about all of those things. If you remember during the bankruptcy case of CSN Houston, it kept coming out that every carriage deal that NBC Sports, because you know they're Comcast, they were part of the ownership group, the Astros, the Rockets, and Comcast. Every carriage deal that Comcast brought to Jim Crane and then Les Alexander, Jim Crane shot down every single one of them. And fans were mad. Like, why does he keep shooting it down? How come he won't do it? And then in open court, the judge actually said Jim Crane was right to reject every single one of those offers because every one of them was a trash offer that was going to result in them losing money over the long term. And I think that's when people begrudgingly started to turn. When it came out that the judge had said Jim Crane was right all along, I think that's when people began to finally understand that, look, he's not just a cheapskate. He's not just a pariah. He's not in over his head. He's not over-leveraged. He was really looking out for the best of the team. And now, I mean, they come out with a second ring. That totally changes his entire legacy of not only his legacy, but legacy of best owners in this city. Does he not go to the top?
Oh, without a doubt. But I think here's part of the problem. And Bobby on Twitter is I think, no offense, Bobby, you're part of the problem. Said, you're wrong. We hated losing 100-plus games. How many times have owners and GMs made empty promises? We didn't know it was going to be this great. That's because you guys rush to judgment on stuff and don't take people at their word. And you know what? And we had him on the show early on, and he basically said, this is going to be a process. It's going to take a while. And like, yeah, when it's time to spend money, we will. He also mentioned that the Comcast, he got screwed on that. And now it's worked out because the franchise value is, what, over $2 million now, or $2 billion, when it was, he bought it for $600,000. Yeah, Drayton screwed him on that deal. Right, by making empty promises about what that was going to do. But that had nothing to do with what his vision was from the beginning. He laid it all out. He told us what he was going to do. And I'll say most reasonable people actually bought it and said, let's give him a chance. But I think it's in this world that we live in, especially in sports, we have to rush to judgment. Oh, he's a cheap bastard. He won't spend any money. Oh, they're losing 100 games. Yeah, what good would it have done to go and sign some guy for $20 million a year so that you win so you lose 98 instead of 107. I mean, what good would it have done?
Oh, listen, I'm totally on board with that. When you talked about the fact that year, I think their total team payroll was $25
million. Yeah.
I mean, they had a team payroll less than A-Rod's contract. And people were just, oh, that he's super cheap. There was a plan in place. And well, I think people just didn't believe that he would execute the plan.
No, but that's the thing. Getting back to this tweet, it's like, well, you know, how many times have owners and GMs made empty promises? Until somebody lies to me, I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt. And especially a guy like that who came in with the knowledge of baseball and, you know, had an idea of what he wanted to do. And by the way, had to clean up a really bad mess that Drayton created. And I think people forget that. What the team he inherited, it wasn't just moving leagues. It was just that team, Drayton had not spent a dime on it and let it go to hell. Because
people
he didn't care.
Don't understand about how the minor league system was just a complete abject.
Oh yeah, they hadn't desert. Even focused on it.
They had nothing.
So,
because he was stripping it down to sell it.
So I think it's you know, I'm sure there's some people who felt that way, but I gotta tell you, it wasn't on this show. We never talked about that other than, hey, well, let's see. And when people would call and say, oh, he's cheap. Well, let's see. When they get a team that matters and what happens. As soon as they had a team that had a chance to win the World Series, what did he do?
He got everything he said he was going
to do. He got Justin Verlander. What did he do yesterday? Spend the money on Zach Greinke. Do what you have to do. And I have another thought on the Astros that I want to throw out when we come back. But, you know, so I think if you're one of those people who were critical of him early, then you're a jump-to-judgment person and maybe you need to check yourself a little. That's all.
You need to say you're sorry. You need to stand in the corner. You need to say 25 Hail Marys and 10 All Fathers and wear the cone of shame and repent for your sins.
Well, maybe just don't equate one thing to another when they're not related. How's that?
Put them in the stocks at 100 lashes.
Yeah. See, like Bill O'Brien, we've got 5 years now to judge Bill O'Brien.
300 lashes.
It's about to be 6 years to judge Bill O'Brien. Has he delivered on what he said he was going to do? Hey, at least Maury's out there trying. I mean, they're failing at it, but they're trying. The Astros have succeeded. They're going to continue to succeed. And we'll talk about that a little bit more when we come back. It's the Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Patrick Creighton filling in today for AJ.
The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. You are listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. 281 says, I disliked him allowing us to be bullied into the AL way more than the losing. That has ultimately worked out for the best, too. He really didn't have a choice. He didn't own the team at the time. It was part of the deal of buying the team was that they had to move it.
You know, I spoke to Bud Selig. I had Bud Selig on my national show a couple of weeks ago, and he had said to me the reason the Astros were the team that was chosen was just simple geography. All the other teams were a lot closer to each other than the Astros were, and that's why the Astros were the team that was chosen. You had 16 teams in the National League. You had 14 teams in the American League. It didn't make sense. With all the amount of interleague play, they balanced the leagues.
And, well, it was easy.
The NL Central.
It was also easy to make it a condition of the sale because they were for sale. And that's basically what Selig did. So, again, I would have preferred they stay in the National League, but hey, it's worked out fine. My question for you, and this is new for Houston fan, okay? Because you look at most of the franchises in this city, and yeah, the Rockets are out there trying. They're out there battling. The Texans, I think we've decided are, you know, they're going to be mired in mediocrity as long as this particular group is involved with it. But the Astros, have they become one of the best-run organizations in sports? I mean, they've got to win a few more before you can start throwing Patriots on them or Spurs. But when you look at how they run this organization, as a Houston fan, isn't it kind of cool that you actually have an organization that does the right things? I mean, they may not win. And this is the one thing that I can't emphasize enough. That just because you have the best team, just because you've done everything right, doesn't mean you're necessarily going to win the World Series. But didn't they pretty much check off every box yesterday?
How long have the Pittsburgh Pirates been rebuilding?
Exactly.
Since, what, 1993? When Barry Bonds headed west to San Francisco? Yeah, after the 92 season, when that team broke up, they've been essentially rebuilding ever since.
To me, and I've always said this since Luno's been there, it seems like what he's trying to build is the Cardinals. And it looks like that's what they've done. You build a team that can win a couple World Series, and when that stretch of talent ends, you're still in the mix every year. The Cardinals never suck.
No, but they're I guess you could say the most recent couple of years, they've struggled more than they had been while Luno was there. They're in the midst of a division chase right now with the Cubs and the Brewers. The Brewers are like two starting pitchers. That division, you got a lot of team. You know, the three teams are kind of bunched in. The Brewers are going to fall out because they can't pitch. You look at the amount of runs they've given up this year, the bullpen just can't continue to hold up. They've had their spots where they're failing. They can't get guys to go 5-6 innings. And that's why they've got a negative run differential. I mean, they just have too many issues. And that team, they don't have the same kind of management the Astros have. They don't generate the same kind of local revenue that the Astros do. So they weren't going to go out and get a big-time starting pitcher. They needed two of them. They needed two legit starters. Maybe not aces, but they needed two legit starters. They're going to fall out. The Cubs have the pitching, and they have the lineup. Their issue has been the bullpen. They went and got Craig Kimbrell. Kimbrell has been, let's say, inconsistent. And I think a lot of that has to do with the fact that in the first 3 months of the season, he didn't pick up baseball. But Kimbrell has, what's his ERA, like 6 and change? Kimbrell hasn't been good. That's been their biggest problem. The Astros right now, I would say their starting rotation, their big three, is better than anybody else's big three, and that includes the Dodgers, because you know what? We know what happens to Clayton Kershaw when the calendar turns to October. Chokes it out. Hyunjin Ryu hasn't pitched 160 innings, I think, since 2014. So the idea of, oh, well, look how great he's pitching right now. Well, what happens when you put another 70 innings on his arm? And all of a sudden, you know, here's a guy who's 30-something years old. It hurts a little bit. It's cold. These are the things that happen to guys who don't throw a lot of innings for long periods of time. That's part of the reason why the Astros made the calculated risk on letting Charlie Morton go on 2 years, $30 million to Tampa Bay. Because each of the last 2 years that he pitched here, did he pitch great here? Yeah, he pitched really well. But he gave him 146 and 164 innings. He's a guy whose career has been littered with arm injuries. And they took the risk that, you know what, we're not going to commit $30 million to a guy that all our metrics say won't stay healthy for 2 years. So far, it's worked out for Tampa Bay. What happens when Charlie Morton gets to 165, 170 innings?
And that's another way. I said all offseason, I had no problem with what they did, letting Keuchel walk and letting Morton walk. They wound up replacing Keuchel with Wade Miley, who's been better this year than Keuchel was last year. Now, let's see how his arm holds up as the innings mount as well, because he's got an injury history. But as far as Morton was concerned, the hope was one of these guys, whether it would have been Josh James, who got hurt and wound up being in the bullpen, or whether it would be Forrest Whitley, would develop into that kind of pitcher for you. And that's what you were kind of waiting on. And if it didn't, then you make a move. And the result of this move, if Greinke's ERA was in the AL, he'd be third right now. So you would have four of the top seven ERAs in the American League with your top four guys. And this, to me, is so important for the playoffs, because that 1-2-3 punch, nobody's going to be able to match up with. And frankly, who's going to have a better fourth starter than what Wade Miley is when you get to the playoffs?
Wade Miley's going to be better than a lot of teams' third starter.
And that's if you even use four. And that seems to be, I mean, that's kind of what they've done historically. But it also gives you insurance in case one of those guys gets hurt. And frankly, and the one that I'm intrigued by is picking up Sanchez, because not necessarily for this year, but if they could figure out what's gone wrong with him and get him right, that was a guy who was on his way to being a star and being a top-line starting pitcher. Now, to me, it's no risk, because if he doesn't work out, he doesn't work out. He's pretty cheap. But, boy, if you can figure that guy out, I think you might have something for the next couple of years.
A couple of years ago, he actually, he looked like he was going to be a star.
Well, if I'm not mistaken, he led the AL and ERA.
He got some Cy Young votes. I heard Luno say he got Cy Young votes. And he looked terrific, but it's completely unraveled. But that being said, if you were going to have the faith in any organization to fix a pitcher, is it not this team?
Established pitchers, yes. Guys who have had success in the past or had injury issues, they found a way to improve. Veterans. The young guys they brought up, no, I don't trust them with. And we've talked about this all week. Who was the last actual prospect that panned out for them as a pitcher? Lance McCullers, probably.
That's probably fair.
And so, I mean, with young guys in their system, no, I don't trust them. And if there's something I could be critical of them for, that's it. But yeah, when they get other guys, they see something in them that they can fix, and they seem to do it. Wade Miley's been better this year than he's been in the past. Justin Verlander
was really
better.
Good second half of last year also. And I think that's what they picked up on. He added a new pitch last year, and he had a lot of success pitching in Milwaukee. That's one where you can go back and say, how does Milwaukee not bring Miley back when he signed for, what, $4 million?
Yeah, I mean, at the price they got him was just ridiculous. And the other thing that I wanted to just give him credit for that doesn't get talked about enough, that Michael Brantley signing was just pure genius. I mean, to pick that guy up for the price they did for 2 years and put him in the middle of that lineup where he's surrounded by great hitters, they're getting the best out of him. And that was just another quality signing that I think flew under the radar a little bit.
Exactly the kind of guy they needed, too. They needed a strong left-handed bat to break up all their righties, because every key bat on the Astros is right-handed. They needed that lefty to balance the lineup just enough. And, you know, you got Springer's righty, Altuve, Breggs, Correa, Yuli. They're all right-handed. The only mostly everyday lefty bat, really, was Reddick. And he doesn't play against lefties. So to get that second everyday left-handed bat, I thought was very important for this team. And he's been everything they could ask him to be.
Plus, he's a contact guy. He puts the ball in play, which is another thing that they've. It's so much different than what this team was a few years ago when it was all strikeouts and home runs. And they really do put the ball in play now as a group.
And they've kept him healthy.
Yeah. Well, and actually, not really. I mean, George.
No, they've kept Brantley healthy.
Oh, Brantley healthy. Yeah, I was about to say. I thought you meant the whole lineup because obviously they've had some big gaps this year without Altuve and Correa and Springer. And that's the thing. You want those guys healthy going to the playoffs. If you go in with this lineup and this pitching staff, you're not guaranteed winning because no one ever is. But there's not going to be too many games in the playoffs where they're not favored to win. And they're going to be favored to win every series. All right, I got to tell you about my man, Lawyer Dave, who's not calling in today because he's probably making a blitzer a bunch of money by winning a lawsuit because that's what he does. That's all he does is win. He's like the Astros. He wins everything. And doesn't matter what's happened. It could be car accident, 18-wheeler accident, industrial, workplace, slip and fall. Maybe he had a bad experience with a doctor. And listen, Lawyer Dave takes care of that. He is going to help you win. He practices everywhere in Texas. Here's the best part. Doesn't cost you a dime to talk to him. You can call him right now and talk to someone there and get legal advice. If he can help you, he'll tell you. If he can't, he'll tell you that. If he doesn't do what you need, he'll put you in touch with the right person. And he doesn't get paid a dime until you win. So if you're worried about having been in an accident, it's like, oh, man, I can't afford to go to the doctor. Well, they're gonna put you with somebody. And when you win, he wins. He likes to bet on himself. He likes to bet on the blitzers. And guess what? He does a pretty damn good job of it. He's handled some things for me, and I couldn't be happier. He's based here in Houston, but he will practice everywhere in Texas. So if you're over in the Golden Triangle, my friend's over there, he will take care of you. Give him a call. It's 713-626-8900. 713-626-8900. Or on Twitter, at Lawyer Dave Law. You can also go to lawyerdave.com. Need a lawyer? Better dial Dave.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. And so yesterday we gave away some listener party tickets on to the Twitch people. And did not tell them that, hey, you need to call in and give us your information. So one of them did, but the other two, Option 3 Johnny and Crystal MGSD on Twitch, you need to call in at 713-780-3776. Give us your info at your soonest convenience so that you can come to the listener party. So who are we blaming that one on, Aaron?
I'll take the blame for that. I got caught up in moving on to deaths and picking all three, and then Mr. Gal being generous and going, you know what, all three of them deserve to go. So
yeah. Yeah,
that was my fault. I should have announced either that or they could have emailed me. But
smart move, not blaming the boss. Smart move. Take that one. Sometimes you just got to eat it.
Well, the boss did a nice thing for the people.
The boss does do nice things for the people.
He basically said, you know what? I like all three of them. You're all three coming to the party. He can do that because he's the boss.
See, he even extended a personal invitation to drink vodka in his office.
It's good to be the king.
He did. I kind of feel, you know what I didn't ask him yesterday is how he liked that tequila I bought him. Because he's a big tequila aficionado, so I got him my favorite tequila for his birthday. And he hasn't said anything about it, so he must hate it, is my thought. So it would have been so much better to ask him that on air.
Just put him on the spot at the party in front of a bunch of listeners and go, hey, what happened to that tequila? Why don't we break out that?
Well, I think he took it home. But it's a real good sipping tequila, and it's so I don't know if it's the kind of thing he likes, but You know what? He was. He and Carla did a great job yesterday. He did a cool thing for the people. See, I felt like I really felt like I had endeared myself to the people the day before by giving away two instead of one, and just saying, you know what, I'm gonna throw my thing out here and say I'm giving away two spots. And then he did three. I think he did that on purpose, just to let me know where I stand around here. That, you know, I'm who the real big dog is. But yeah, that was a lot of fun, and a lot of fun having Booker T on early in the week. And now we got Patrick Creighton, the legendary Patrick Creighton.
Man, I had to follow the boss and Book. That is like, okay, this is like the trap game. You know, you played two really good games. Okay, now we got a trap game. Then we're going to have another good game. Who's on tomorrow?
Josh and Jerry Bow.
Ah, okay. So you go trap. You got your boss, boss, trap game.
You should have seen his face when he saw that. It's like, oh, I got those guys.
I got those guys. Woo! I love Jerry Bow.
Yeah, he's terrific. And Josh, who's also the assistant editor of Sports Map, who's been a real big reason for the massive success of that website.
Moneyline guys.
Moneyline on Sunday, so check them out. But yeah, so there'll be a pretty good gambling bent to the show tomorrow.
Oh, because, you're just going to hate that.
Yeah, I can't stand it. I can't stand it. But we tried to, we did our best to kind of mix it up a little bit and give people something different every day. And and so far it's been fun. It'd be good to get AJ back, but different kind of shows. And it's always fun for me to work with different people. And I think we've only worked together like when you had to fill in for an hour for
yes, that is reason. The only time that I've been on this show. It's also the only time I've also sat in this chair.
You seem really obsessed with the whole where you're sitting thing.
Well, it's like everything is backwards for me right now. Usually I sit in the same chair that you sit in, so the microphone comes at me from that angle, and I do everything left-handed out. Right now I'm doing everything right-handed in, which is just backwards.
It's just going to turn into a Seinfeld bit. Can't go left.
Can't go left. it's just backwards. Okay. But I think that I'm almost professional enough to be able to adapt.
Okay, fair enough. I think by hour number three, you'll get it down. Texter says he knows option three, Johnny, and he'll call him good. And they're asking what tequila was it. Solarzano is what it's called. It's my favorite tequila. I actually like the Añejo more so than the Reposado. So just if you're looking for a nice sipping tequila, it's not a bad one. Yeah, and I think, actually, Crystal is, or at least earlier, was on Twitch. So, Crystal, if you are on Twitch now, call 713-780-3776. We'll get you set up with the tickets. And I'm going to – do we have another giveaway today?
Yes, we do.
Okay. I might – you know, I'm really enjoying the Twitch people. I may do another one there. I may do text line today. We'll do something different. But I heard Patrick – the way he gave him out the other night, and so I've been trying to do things like that as opposed to just be the eighth caller. So you have an impact.
Impact. Yeah. You get it. I know we're on Twitch. Am I supposed to have access to that?
Well,
because I don't know how to access it.
Okay, she just called in and gave me the info, so you're set. So now we just got to get.
He called in too.
Okay, they're both good.
Yep. So good. We're good.
All awesome.
Right. All right. Cool.
I'm looking forward to seeing people. So during the listener appreciation party, people are going to be coming in and out of the studio while we're doing late hits.
Yeah.
That's going to be interesting.
While you're doing late hits. No offense, I'm not going to do late hits.
You're not going to be, you know what I mean.
I am going to be drinking with the people.
Ah.
Because that's what I do.
People's champion, Fred Fowler.
Well, I try to be a man for the people. You know. Or at least a man of the people.
Of the people, for the people.
I do the best I can.
Drinking with the people.
Yeah.
As long as I can get somebody to bring me some wings, we're good.
We will have wings. In fact, we're going to have the best. We're going to have Big City Wings. So
very strong.
Yeah, you know, you should have waited until 6:42 to set that up, because that would have led right into my live read about how great Big City Wings is.
6:40. All right, so I'll just redo that again. We'll have a totally different audience then. No problem.
The one difference here is that it isn't really a totally different audience, because a lot of people stay with the show all the way through. It's very much like a podcast, which is why we don't do a lot of repeating things we've already talked about. So there will be people at 6:42. Oh man, Creighton missed a real big shot.
They just need to be reminded at 6:42. Oh hey, by the way, Big City Wings is awesome. Kicks ass. Go get there.
Yeah, and so we'll have Big City Wings at the party, and what else we got? Coors Light.
That'll make Renato happy.
Zumo in on that too now? Yeah, Zumo's in on that. Oh yeah, now we're talking.
That the sausage?
Yes.
Place.
Yes. If you like sausage in your mouth, Zumo has you covered. I'm here to tell you. Now, that's one of my favorite things about. You know, one of the cool things about doing radio is that we have great sponsors, but yeah, I love doing business with people. And I mean, that's the almost all the guys that that sponsor this show, I'm friends with. And because they do right by the Blitzers. And so if we get some, and we've had a few that if I don't think that they're good for our listeners, turf them. They're like an ex-wife. They're out of here. But that's why guys like Lawyer Dave and Sam at Big City Wings and Yuval with Texas Mattress Makers are all just good people. Dr. Linville, I mean, I really like those guys and I like what they do, not just with their businesses, but in the community. And that's why I hope we always do business with them.
Last year's listener appreciation party was a lot of fun. It was packed. We were wall-to-wall people. It was a lot of fun.
I vaguely remember the after party. That's how bad it was. We went and did an after party near my place, and I don't remember how I got home. I remember a friend of mine's car got stolen.
What?
Or no, got towed. She got towed. And so I think I Ubered all of like 4 blocks. I think it was that bad. So I don't know that we'll be doing that again, but I'm not going to say we won't because I never know how these things are going to go. All right. We are going to take a quick break. Hockley Dan said, Fred, you said I would possibly need safety earplugs for Patrick. Thanks for the heads up. My eardrums are still not bleeding from the screaming. Good. Good.
Preparation is key. Knowing is half the battle.
See, I can do a Creighton imitation, but I can't do it for a whole show. It's like I can do 2 or 3 lines, and that's it. I don't know how you do it the whole time. Not that you do it the whole time.
I don't know how I do it either, because I never. It's not like I said that, and I go, okay. In 3 minutes, man, I'm going to ramp this puppy up, and I'm just going to let all freaking hell loose. Like, that's not what actually goes on. It just, for whatever reason, whatever I'm talking about, I get worked up, and then, boom, the Sam Kennison light goes off, and or the Lewis Black light goes off, however you want to call it. But, you know, Lewis Black, New York City comedian, a little cantankerous, kind of fits me pretty well. That light goes off, and I just kind of start, and it gets loud, it gets sarcastic, and... And it's fun.
See, but Sam Kennison, though, he would be like, out of nowhere. He would have this little soft voice, and he'd be talking about, yeah, so, welcome to hell. Oh, you've been married 2 times? You want a job? You know, it was always like he'd set it up, and then he'd have that little laugh. You know, it doesn't, I think Koo's going to join us here. It's 6:15 today. I think he does a Kennison, if I'm not mistaken. Or am I thinking of Craig Gass? No, it's Craig Gass.
Craig Gass is the Kennison.
Yeah. I know we have a regular guest who does a great Kennison. Yeah, it's Craig Gass. All right, we are going to take a very quick break. Don't go anywhere. It's a Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
This is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5. You are listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. See you responding on Twitter to people asking how this matches up with the Braves or with the really good Astros rotations. The one that nobody ever talks about. That I will throw out there. Go back to 86 when you had Ryan and Mike Scott, and I can't remember who else was on there, but they had a terrific pitching rotation. Now, they were pitching in the dome, so they all had good numbers, but that was a pretty good group.
Yeah, the 86 Astros had good, you know, the Mets had Gooden, Darling, Sid Fernandez. That was a pretty good group, but this current Astros Big Three. I mean, it's fair to say that they are, for at least this one given year, you compare 1 year to 1 year, that's a Maddox, Glavine, Smoltz top three. And Cole's going to strike out 300 guys this year.
Yeah, yeah.
Verlander's going to be damn close to it.
And
they've got the guys there 1-2-5 in WHIP, which is a huge metric for pitchers.
Yeah,
they'd be what 2-3-4 in the American League in ERA. Somebody had asked if Greinke coming over to the American League messes up the Cy Young. No, he's not going to qualify for the Cy Young. He's not going to have nearly enough innings. And right now, you say the Cy Young in the American League is a three-horse race between Cole Verlander and Charlie Morton?
I think that's fair.
And Morton's probably guy number three because he's going to pitch the least amount of innings.
Yeah, I think if it's close, it's going to be Verlander. I think the rep has a lot to do with it.
It does, but I think if Verlander and Cole are neck and neck and Cole has 300 Ks, he's going to get it because that's a milestone.
All right.
Didn't Verlander have like 287 strikeouts last
year?
Yeah,
yeah. I mean, he's going to be close again. There's no question, especially the way he's pitching right now. So, yeah, that you're starting your top four starters on that 86 team. Mike Scott, 18-10, 2.22 ERA, 306 strikeouts.
Oh, he was filthy.
One of my favorite sports moments. I was at the game where they clinched a division against the Giants and Scott threw a no-hitter. And I remember the very first pitch, he tried to throw it through Dan Gladden. He hit him in the back. And then he was just – and I was sitting on the first base, right behind the first base dugout. And it's one of the few times you could actually see the ball break. It was because he was throwing that split finger, and it was just – it was diving 3 feet. And you could see it – you could see how much it broke from where we were sitting. And about the third inning, I'm like, this guy's throwing a no-hitter. But you also had Nolan Ryan on that team. Bob Knepper, who won 17 games with a
Bob Knepper was a solid pitcher.
3.14 ERA. And Jim DeShays, who won 12 games with a 3.25 ERA. Pretty good group. Danny Darwin was the fifth guy. He was 5-2 with a 2.32.
There are so many Mets-Astros connections, which you consider they came into the National League at the same time. They both were 62 expansion teams. But there's so many Mets-Astros connections. For example, Mike Scott was acquired by the Astros in a trade with the Mets for outfielder Danny Heap. Danny Heap wound up being Nolan Ryan's 4,000th strikeout victim. Mike Scott, who always threw hard but never had a lot of success, became successful when he learned the split-fingered fastball. Who did he learn the splitter from? Roger Craig, who pitched for the Mets. And then wound up actually, he took the job as the Giants manager that year. So you know he regretted teaching Mike Scott the splitter that year. But there's so many Mets-Astros connections. I always find the Mike Scott, Nolan Ryan, Danny Heap triangle to be very interesting.
Yeah, that was one of the best teams to never get to the World Series, which is a typical Houston sports thing. It's been forever. How long have you been here now? You
should be 6 years.
Okay, so you don't.
In fact, today is my 3-year anniversary with Gal.
Well, congratulations.
My first show here with Gal was August 1st, 2016.
I think I've been here now, well, since Gal bought us, which I think was 7 years ago now, maybe eight. Before that, we were at Cumulus, which, I don't like to be critical of companies I've worked, but. It was a nightmare. They were in bankruptcy, and because I wasn't considered an employee, I was considered a vendor. I didn't get paid for like 2 months, and then they furloughed us for a week. I'm like, well, yeah, thanks for the furlough. You're not even paying me. You know,
it's like essentially I've been on furlough for two months.
Yeah, I'm sitting here working, and so. It was just so much better when David bought this station, and he's done such a great job with it. And we've talked about this before when he's filled in, but what a lot of people don't realize about David is he's really good at taking businesses that are performing under what they should be doing, and like break even when they could be making a lot of money, and really turning them around to where they're consistent money makers. And he's done that with a lot of stuff, and that's why, that's why this company has grown from being one radio station to, I think we're the biggest locally owned media company in the city now in terms of all of our assets with course, with 97.5, with the network, with Sports Map, which is the greatest sports website ever created.
Ever.
Culture Map. Yeah, you need to write for that more, by the way. Innovation Map. Yeah, we've got, you know, we own Gifting Map, all these different things that we've started over the last couple of years. So, I mean, his vision for this company has been fantastic. I've never worked at a better place. And, you know, not that I've worked at a ton of places, but this has been my favorite job ever and my favorite place to work, and you know, for a lot of reasons. And it's funny because I've had a lot of opportunities in the last couple of years to go do something else, and I just got no interest. It's almost like there's not a dollar amount somebody could give me to leave, because I have too much fun. I have the opportunity to do things here that nobody else would let me do. I have total control over what we do on the show. I mean, AJ and I have total autonomy on everything. You can't get that very many places. Now, I think we've earned it, but
what if they would allow you to do the show from a beach in the Bahamas?
That would be interesting. But yeah, if I were going to go to the Bahamas, I'd go to besthotelrates.com. Well done, Aaron, because that's a place where you want to go if you want the best hotel rates. And frankly, we used this when I was in Saskatchewan, because I don't want to say anything, but somebody just thought we could show up at a hotel and book a room, and it didn't work out.
Were you in Regina?
We were actually in Saskatoon.
Ah.
But so we went to besthotelrates.com, got a room booked, boom. That fast. And it was awesome, and it was inexpensive. And that's what the name says it all. They've got over 600,000 hotels all across the country, all across the world. And I'm still thinking about going to Fort Lauderdale for that poker tournament next week. And I was looking at the rates, and it's like, go on besthotelrates.com. I'm like, yeah, boy, that's really tempting, because those rates are low. And go check out the website. The name says it all, besthotelrates.com. You'll enjoy it. You'll save a bunch of money, and you'll stay at a cool place. Besthotelrates.com.
You can do it.
You can now listen to all your favorite shows on the Amazon Echo.
Oh, sweet, dude.
Just say, Alexa, open ESPN 97.5.
Now playing ESPN 97.5.